absolute power corrupts absolutely.
It sure does, ladies and gentlemen. And this means, Mr. Jeff, I still want to apologize for the delay, for the 2-minute delay in starting the show. Had a little technical difficulties. I want to welcome you to the Master Plan. We're going to do a live draft today, guys. A live draft. And we're going to put a rookie on the board, not on the fantasy football board, but the studio board, hence the technical difficulties. Lance, with 5 seconds left to start the show, you pop up, and then what do, Lance? You call in on the regular number. Lance didn't follow the directions I gave him, but it's okay, ladies and gentlemen. It happens. And we're going to bring in the original host to the Master Plan, JTATM Money, so he can scold his, now I have to do this, his sidekick. Because, yeah, Lance is now a sidekick after the screw-up. He's no longer a co-host. He's like Robin, and Jerry is Batman. Jerry, please take care of your Robin, because he can't be Nightwing. Nightwing was his own superhero and did his own thing, but he didn't mess
Lance,
up. Lance,
how you doing, my man? How's it going?
I'm doing good this morning. What's going on, Mr. Master Plan?
Wait a minute.
Hey, FSP, back up a minute. Back up. This is my guy. Back up. Lance, don't worry about
man.
It. Don't worry about it, Lance. It happens to the best of us. I do it myself. So don't worry about it.
Press mute. No.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. You have to mute. That's different. Go ahead.
What?
You normally have the mute button pressed.
Well, yes, I normally have it, but it's the same thing. So don't worry about it, Lance. As you start doing it more and more, it'll become second nature to you, and you don't have to worry about it. So,
well, Jerry,
everybody,
the right number first. You have to call
you live
the
and
first
learn.
Number, not the
you
not
live,
the.
Hey, FSP, how long you been doing this?
Well, you know, of course, I'm an expert.
What? Yeah, well, and that's the truth, because you used to do it in your civilian life, so you are more of an expert. Okay, so what I'm saying is this. We are, and I'm not downplaying Lance, but we are novices at this for the most part. So there's going to be some learning problems in the beginning, which is understandable. So you just have to be cognizant of that. That's all I'm saying.
Can I rub your face in a little bit? Batman,
no,
I'm Superman.
No, this is my guy. No, you cannot do that. Lance, just don't worry about it. I know you can stand up for yourself, but this is me. You are on my program. You're my man. You're my sidekick. You're my co-host. You leave Lance alone.
Whatever, Batman. Whatever. Oh man,
I've done the same thing.
Where's Lance at now? Is he there? Oh, there he is.
Yeah, I've been listening. I've been listening the whole time.
That's a good Robin. When you grow your wings, we'll call you Nightwing.
Oh,
Jerry,
boy.
My Robin.
Oh, boy.
Jerry,
you know, Robin.
And, you know what? You're a Teen Titan. You're not even Nightwing. You're not even Robin. You're a Teen Titan. That's
what?
You're a team.
No. You can't call my guy. You can't categorize him to wherever you want him. This is my program.
If you're Batman and he's Robin, and Robin left and to join the Teen Titans, he's a Teen Titan.
I gotcha. All right, guys. All right. let's go ahead and get to the meat and potatoes. Sorry everybody for coming on a little late here, a little technicality, but no big deal. It's the NFL Exporter. You're listening to the Master Plan, which you already know. We got the Magic Man, Big Jerry Taylor in the house. We got Victor Gardner in the house. I know we're expecting some other calls. It was the big fantasy football weekend, the biggest fantasy football weekend. I know drafts have been going on for the last couple weeks, but this weekend here, you know, not to do preseason is officially over. We're less than a week away from the opening kickoff, so we've been able to evaluate talent. We got the official depth charts. We got the latest injury reports. We've been able to reassess our rankings. So let me ask you first, Jerry. I know that you had quite a few drafts on your hands. I think you have another big one today that we're going to be covering on the line here, yourself, Victor, Mikal. So how's it been going so far, you know, as far as your mock drafts compared to the real thing, your you know, how you've been doing landing players that you've been wanting to land? Give us some feedback on how it's been going so far.
Let me tell you this something, man. I've been shocked. I have been absolutely shocked at some of the players I've been picking up in the middle round or in the late part of the round. I've been shocked at some of these drafts that I've been in that people have been going after quarterbacks early, which is still amazes me. Everybody's infatuated with Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Peyton Manning, and I understand that. But in reality and fantasy is two different things. So in a fantasy, if you are really, in my opinion, truly dedicated to winning, you don't pick a quarterback in the first round. And the fact is, there's too many good quarterbacks and a lot of quarterback depth. So the only reason you pick them is because you want that marquee guy. But that's going to put you behind the eight ball on one of the other skill positions. So I'm really surprised in the drafts, and I know, Victor, we've been in at least one draft, and we're surprised that, two or three quarterbacks went in the first round, which is like
three.
You got to be
three
kidding.
In the first seven.
Yeah, three in the first round. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And you getting quality players falling to you when you thought they would go in the first five or six picks. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Victor, it's on you, man.
Jerry's referring to the draft we had yesterday. And I want to say this, ESPN, their grading on that particular draft, I think is horrendous, horrendous, but that's neither here nor there. Because the team that Otto picked, of course, since they went with ESPN's ranking, got an A+. And the next team that Otto picked, for the most part, had a B+, because half their team was pretty much Otto picked because they were jumping in and out of the ring and stuff like that. But it is what it is. As far as giving advice on who to get, I too have seen a lot of quarterbacks going in the first round as well. Now, I'll give an example real quick. We got about 20 minutes before the draft starts anyway. I was in one league directly after we finished ours. I mean, directly. As soon as I jumped into the league, it was my pick. That's how quick it was. But anyway, on CBS.com. Now, again, this is based upon the league settings. Their rankings had quarterbacks higher than anybody, and I get it. I get it. Quarterbacks are going to make more points than a running back in the league, and I understand that. So, today, I got a recap of that draft from CBS.com. This wasn't written up by the commissioner. It was written up by CBS. They said that the owner that had the worst reach of the draft was the owner who picked Shady McCoy number 2 overall. And I'm like, are you crazy? That's not a reach. I got AP with number 4. Peyton Manning went number 1, then Shady, then, yeah, again, because based upon the league settings, the quarterbacks are going to get slightly more than the running backs, but
yeah.
To your point,
to your point, the difference in the quarterbacks between Matt Ryan in this league and Peyton Manning was like 50 points, 50, 60 points. So I'm thinking to myself, and I got Nick Foles and Cam Newton. Cam Newton in this league would only get projected, I'm talking about projected points now, 347, whereas Nick Foles is going to get 400 and something. So the point that I'm trying to make here is I can understand why people are reaching for these guys so early, but like Jerry said, you're letting Jamaal Charles fall. You're letting Matt Forte went number 12, if I'm not mistaken.
What?
Yeah. But again, it's all based upon the settings of the league. So the thing that we're seeing in the different leagues we're in, Jerry, I don't know if Lance is seeing this because he only does three leagues, and they probably don't. I don't know if you do PPR or not, but you can talk about it in a second, Lance. You're seeing the owner say, you know what, I'd rather have that stud quarterback and pick up a decent set of running backs later on in rounds 2 and 3. And I understand it, but I don't agree with it. Of course, I've been getting Peyton Manning with the 5th overall pick or the 10th overall pick sometimes because Eddie Lacy has concussion issues. He's had 2 concussions in less than a year. And, you know, that kind of bothers me. But that's just me. Go ahead, Lance.
Okay. No, gentlemen, excuse me, what you said sounds about right. Now, it's interesting that you guys mentioned that. Now, I will say this. For the most part, I think that everybody would agree that the running back position and the tight end position are the two positions that have the least amount of depth. I know that for myself this year, I only had 12 running backs grayed out to a starting running back, meaning they were going to get 20-plus carries a game and get the goal line carries. And some of these running backs also are effective out of the backfield. For the tight end position, obviously you have your elite guys and on down the line. You know that basically Jimmy Graham, Rob Gronkowski when healthy, Julius Thomas, you know, those guys are a threat to get in the end zone every single week. At number 4, everybody had Vernon Davis, same thing, especially in the goal line from there. 5, you know, we had a little mixed reviews, Greg Olsen, Jason Witten, so on and so forth. But it's certainly understandable that people would target those positions high because of the lack of depth. So I'm like you guys, and I will say that Peyton Manning and especially Drew Brees, I do see them, Drew Brees more than anything. You know, Manning had the year off with the injury, had a good 2012, but really nailed it last year. But Drew Brees is a quarterback who I have consistently seen his name on a playoff team every single year. So I will give Drew Brees a benefit of the doubt. I've been seeing him go like around the 2nd round. And obviously what Peyton Manning did last year, I mean, he's certainly worth a 1st-round pick. But after those two guys, I certainly think that loading up on these other skill position players is more valuable because, like you guys, I've seen excellent depth later rounds. I'm talking about from rounds 6 beyond. I see on the board Nick Foles, Andrew Luck, Matt Ryan, Russell Wilson, Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady. So, I mean, there's a ton of quarterbacks who can get you a steady, you know, 15, 20-plus points a week. So that's very interesting. But I'm going to move on to something else. I know you guys are got 15 minutes or so now. What other reaches have you seen? Like, according to you guys, our rankings that we've done here, and these projections that we talk about as well, which I agree with you, Vic, I think are a little bit foolish to a certain degree because you're trying to build a championship roster. And if you're just going purely based off of the projections that the computer has, then that's all fine and dandy. But you have to take into consideration the way that the draft board is moving. You have to take into consideration, you know, depth, what type of format league you're in. So I certainly think that that's something that can put an asterisk by. But for both you gentlemen, what have been some of the reaches that you've seen? You know, maybe players that you had rated, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th round. I'm going to throw out a couple names, and I'll let you guys elaborate. In one of my drafts that I had, Andre Ellington went in the 2nd round. So that was pretty shocking. I actually had him going, like, lower second half of the fourth round, you know, fifth round pick. And I also seen somebody yesterday. Now, I wouldn't call it a reach because I actually had Frank Gore's status improve. I know, Jerry, for you this would be a huge reach. He wasn't even ranked. But I seen yesterday as well in one of my drafts, somebody gets Frank Gore in the second round. And I've consistently seen him going in the fourth or fifth round. So why don't you guys chime in on some of the reaches that you've seen in your draft thus far?
Well, I have to comment on one we had yesterday. And I can't recall what round it was. I think it was the third round, maybe. I could be wrong. Vic will correct me. Bishop Sankey. He's not even listed as a starter yet. And somebody grabbed him in the second round. Sean Green's still listed as a starter. So I was like, you got to be kidding me. How the heck can you do that? But it happened, and that's better for everyone else when somebody does something like that. That's off the top of my head, I could think of that one. That really shocked me when somebody pulled Bishop Sankey out in the second round. Like, dude, what are you thinking about? So,
you know, that was the one I was thinking about too, Jerry. Also, Gronk went in the third round. Later into the second round. The Sankey pick was kind of shocking. But, again, I got to preface that by saying it was a 14-man league. And those extra four players that would have been there if we were in our regular 12-man league, Bishop Sankey might have fallen to the third or fourth round. But because there was a mad run on running backs because the first three of the seven picks were quarterbacks, you had running backs falling. And then people said, oh, let me just grab this guy, let me grab that guy. However, he went before, if I'm not mistaken, Reggie Bush. He went before Giovanni Bernard. And that was kind of stupid to me. Just in my thought process, I understand Sankey has a lot of talent, potential. But he's not a starter. Sean Green won the job. So I don't know what's going to happen with that guy because his backups are like third down backs. Third down backs from like Cleveland, Mr. West, and a few others. But it is what it is. But the biggest shock I've seen, honestly, we're seeing Matt Forte yesterday fall to number 12, 10 or 12. That was the biggest shock for me. Other than Bishop Sankey, getting picked in the second round.
Okay, that makes sense. I would say I tend to think sometime when I see some of these picks that maybe, and it does take away from a level of credit because if you're trying to be competitive and you see a Bishop Sankey, Andre Ellington, I seen Toby Gearhart, he's another guy, I seen him go in the third round yesterday. I think maybe some of these picks are people's emotional picks. Maybe it's the hometown that they live in, the player went to their college. I think there's got to be something to it because there's no way, number one, the player's not projected to go that high, so you're reaching down to get the player. And then number two, if you look at the players who they're taking in front of them, I mean, geez, Andre Ellington, he went before Doug Martin, Zach Stacy, Ryan Matthews, Alshon Jeffrey. To go in the second round of a draft, you're going ahead of some pretty big time talent. So that's very interesting. People's strategy. We really wonder how serious they are about winning. Maybe if next time we get a chance to look at who else these owners have on their roster. Maybe to make a little more sense out of it if that was their only kind of questionable pick, but they've got other studs stacked around them. All right, guys,
well,
we're
Lance.
Yeah, go ahead, Vic. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
No. I cut you off. I apologize, Robin. Superman's talking. I'm just joking.
Oh, boy.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
He's got to get the rub, Jerry. He's part of the family now. I got to give him a little rub.
Yes, I got to get it.
But I was going to say that, Jerry, mute yourself before I mute you.
I'm having problems with my laptop.
Well, we heard you, so. All right. What was I going to say before I muted Jerry? Jeez, I just forgot that quick. I think that when you look at all these players that are going to fall to you in these different rounds, you have to consider, okay, is this a keeper league? Is it a, standard league? Is it a PPR league? And I thought I muted Jerry. I guess I didn't mute Jerry.
You did? Oh, you did?
Jerry, are you talking? Are you there?
I'm here. Are you there?
Oh, that must be Lance that I'm meeting there.
Yeah, it is. It is. Get it. Come on, Superman now. Come on, Superman now. Come on.
Hey, it's all right. It's all right. I'm used to seeing Jerry with a different number. sorry about that. I apologize, Lance. But when you look at who's falling, you got to consider, is it a PPR, standard, and all these other formats. Like Jerry and I were talking yesterday about having a flex position with a running back, wide receiver, tight end in favor of that. That's not something I really like. But if we have that, okay, that means my drafting style changes. This is just for me. That means I'm going to get three running backs back to back to back. That, I don't care what they are really projected as, but because I know I want to start three running backs because I got that extra flex position, I'm going to draft three running backs and let the chips fall where they may. You know, so I can understand in some of these cases where this stuff is going on. Do I agree with it? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But it is what it is. It is what it is. But we got about, 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes left to the draft. So go ahead and say what you're going to say.
But yeah, and I would just say as well, I don't think that the, picking a player in this round is the problem as much as the problem is you're looking at what players they're passing up to pick this player. So I think that's probably the biggest, eyebrow raising when you're seeing some of these picks and you're saying, wow, how are you passing over, Brandon Marshall or, some certified guys. So anyway, to each his own. We're moving up on about 7 minutes from you guys' draft starting today. So some other interesting things, let's go into that. This upcoming year, we have quite a few boom or bust players on our fantasy football list. And so, for me, I have Rob Gronkowski, Arian Foster. I think those are two guys who are either going to, help you to get in the playoffs or end up hurting you big time. I think a couple other guys to keep note of, they did not have impressive preseasons, but they certainly have weapons around them in RG3 and Colin Kaepernick. Those are guys I've been seeing slide down draft boards and could potentially, again, give you some, 4,500, 4,000 all-purpose yards, 30-plus, TDs passing and running or kind of resemble what they look like in the preseason. And then a couple of other interesting prospects as well, Ben Tate of the Cleveland Browns, Rashard Jennings of the New York Giants. I know both of those guys are on offenses that were completely – shaky and disappointing in the preseason. They were really the only shining stars out there, but they're the only really weapons on their team. I'm quite sure that players are going to be. I want to throw Zach Stacy in there as well. I know this was a big debate last week on Twitter and NFL.com. I was having with people. I actually felt that Sam Bradford being hurt actually hurt his stock. Everybody was saying his stock is rising because he's going to get more carries, which is true. But at the end of the day, if you look at what other pieces, I don't even call them weapons, other pieces that the Rams have in place, he's going to be the main focus of defenses. So he's going to get more carries, but I don't think that automatically means for him, for Jennings, for Tate and Cleveland, teams are going to be focusing on shutting these guys down, putting a lot of defenders in the box and forcing these quarterbacks to beat them over the top. Back up Sean Hill in St. Louis. Eli Manning has looked horrible in preseason and for the Giants, and we know the Brian Hoyer, we've got confirmed now, Josh Gordon's out for the year, so he's rolling with some no-name wide receivers. So what's you guys' take on some of the players I mentioned? Do you see more boom, more ceiling for these guys, or more bust, more of a disappointing season?
I just unmuted Jerry, so hopefully, you know, he's finished running around. You know what? I think I've got Arian Foster on my boom or bust list as well, only because they haven't looked that good offensively in Houston during the preseason. To couple that with the fact I don't trust Fitzpatrick, I don't think he's a good enough quarterback to scare the rest of the NFL, Andre Johnson. Gronk, you know, he's going to be a boom guy if he stays healthy. That's the thing. He needs to stay healthy. And that's my thoughts on that. I mean, there are some others out there. I think Hawkins for Cleveland, he has the potential. I'm about to mute Jerry again. He has the potential of being a boom guy because he's got a good rapport with Hoyer. And with Cameron drawing some attention and Hawkins being a speed guy, he can go deep and get that get the rocks to throw it deep. Now, I agree with you on the running back situation. That scares me away from some of these players as well. I don't know about Jerry, but hopefully he can address the issue. I'm about to unmute him. And Lance, if you're in the studio, you can control this as well. Okay,
yeah,
so go ahead
I'm
and unmute Jerry.
Man.
Go ahead and
sure
unmute
thing.
Jerry. Because we're about to do this draft.
Yes, sir.
All
3 minutes.
Let me tell you something. And I thought about this, and I've been thinking about it all off season. And this may be a shocker to you guys, but there's one running back that's been being taken in the first three picks that I think he's not going to have as good a year as most people think he's going to have. And that's Jamaal Charles. He's got a quarterback that is shaky at best at times, and he had a tough schedule compared to what he had last year. So I have a strange feeling, and I get this every year, and most years it pans out. I get a gut feeling about a running back that is not going to do as well as he projected to be. And this year I have it for Jamaal Charles. And
hey,
also,
Jerry.
Yeah?
You got to get in the room, guy. You got 1 minute, and you have the number two pick. I think you need to hurry up and get in there.
Okay.
So go ahead. We'll let Jerry get set up once again for everybody who's joining us. First of all, good morning. Thank you for tuning in to the Master Plan. This is our final preseason show. When you tune in next week, we're going to be preparing for the real thing. We'll be reviewing our official fantasy football rosters that everybody drafted, myself included. And we'll be going ahead and starting making our predictions. A week from today is our first set of NFL games. So we're just giving today. I'm going to kind of be leading the show, get everybody a little bit more familiar with me. I'm the NFL exporter. My brand-new show, The Extra Point, is debuting a week from tomorrow, Monday, September the 8th. And so I'm controlling the boards here now, getting everything in order. I'm letting Victor and Jerry get themselves prepared. They got a fantasy football draft in about a minute. And what we're going to do today, thought this would be a lot of fun, is actually cover their live draft on the phone. So as the picks are coming in, we're just going to evaluate them one by one and just kind of continue to talk fantasy football in between Jerry and Victor's respective picks. I just heard the familiar sound go off over there, and so let's see who the number one pick is.
In the third round, well, this is a keeper league. So, Jerry, let Lance know who you have because you have the next pick after this. Who did you
keep? The two keepers I have now are Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell, and I have the number two pick. And, oh, boy, this is going to be interesting. I got a lot of – he's sitting there.
He picks Leo Jones. And, Jerry, who are you going to – I think I know who you're going to get. I think I know.
Oh my God.
I
is he there?
I think I know who you're going to get. Play it before I smack your silly. Antonio Brown? You suck.
All right. So there it is. And just – now, what pick are you, Victor?
I'm number nine.
Okay, and how many?
14?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So real quick, for those people out there who are unfamiliar with a keeper league, Jerry, since you've already picked, you've got a minute to go, since it comes back to you. Why don't you explain to everybody what a keeper league is? And you mentioned that you have Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell. So
yes.
I don't know if those guys were not available on the board, but why don't we give our listeners here, just give them a brief little overview or information on what a keeper league is and how you already have Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell.
Okay. Last year I had these two players. So they were on my roster from last year. Since this is a keeper league, we get to keep two players from the previous season. So
okay.
They were on my roster from last year, so I decided to take Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell as my two running backs going into this year with the pick in the third round, because the first two picks are quite naturally the keeper spots take those two picks up.
Okay. Now, obviously, what we can't see is the players, the other 14 owners, other 13 owners, we're unable to see what players they kept from the last year. So,
yes, we can. Yes, we can.
Okay. Excuse me. Would you like to direct me there?
I'll do that in a second because my pick is coming up.
Okay.
But I can
okay.
tell you right now, because I'm the commissioner,
okay.
a lot of people kept, just like Jerry, running back. Therefore, the running
okay,
back.
I tell you what. Go ahead. Why don't you go ahead and make your pick, and then after that, you know, let me get some of these start filling in some of these other owners keepers, so we can try to make a little bit of sense out of you know the picks that are being coming off.
All right. Well,
let's see what Victor does here. Okay.
First of all, I kept Aaron Rodgers and Giovanni Bernard. I just
okay.
selected Reggie Bush.
Okay.
And what I was getting to is that a lot of teams kept running back, because right now the top-rated running back left is Toby Gerhardt. So, exactly. So a lot of teams were running back, and this is one of those leagues where you have two starting running backs in that flex position that's wide receiver, running back, tight end.
Okay.
So you can either play two tight ends.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you can either play two tight ends, three running backs, or three wide receivers. And, you know, so running backs are a premium. They are premium
okay.
in this league.
Okay, let me get that format again, too. We're gonna by the time the draft ends, we're going to be able to tie all this together. What is this, two running back?
I'll tell you the starting lineup. We do IDPs
okay.
as well. It's a quarterback,
okay.
two wide receivers, two running backs,
okay.
a tight end,
okay.
a flex. A wide receiver, running back, tight end.
Gotcha.
A kicker, a defense,
uh-huh.
special teams. Then we go
okay.
two defensive players. So it can be linebackers or it can be
gotcha.
Okay. safety, corners, whatever you want to put there.
Okay. All right. Good to go. Okay. So with the first, let's look at Jerry's first pick. His keepers were Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell. So he's got a stacked backfield there. We certainly are expecting both of those players to be very productive this year. Obviously, I had Le'Veon Bell ranked a little bit lower, I think, without the addition of, LeGarrette Blount, who came up from Pittsburgh. Bell would have been a top 10 running back in my estimation. I know originally it was kind of Blount coming over to kind of help with the workload. I know a couple weeks ago on CBS.com, Bell came out and said that, Blount is going to get the majority of the goal line carries, and both of them got in trouble. I've been hearing rumors now that Blount is going to be getting kind of splitting the workload. We know that there's a possible suspension looming. So Le'Veon Bell is certainly a talented player. We just kind of want to watch and monitor his progress. Jerry went with Antonio Brown, the wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I'm going to let you chime in, Jerry, on your pick, because I know Vic is probably going to be coming back up the order soon, and then we'll address what Victor has going on. So what was the synopsis on Antonio Brown? Obviously, with two big-time running backs, you wanted a top-end receiver. I know Brown was ranked pretty high on your list. What was the thought process going into drafting Antonio Brown?
Well, I like the offense. I like the quarterback. I like what they're going to be doing. Especially when they're no huddle, so they're going to be running a lot of plays That's one of Ben Roethlisberger's favorite players is Antonio Brown. He's a big play guy, so I wanted to go with him. So I passed him over, believe it or not, for another wide receiver that I know Victor was pretty surprised about, but it is what it is.
Okay, and who is that receiver? Let's not hold any punches here. We want to know.
I passed him up for Dez Bryant.
No, don't say it. Oh, Dez Bryant.
Wow.
Because he's already taken.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. If I mess, okay, just, you know, kind of shaded away if I mess up any strategies or what may have you. But that is very shocking. I'm surprised with that one, Jerry, considering stats-wise. And any reservations real quick? I know you're coming up soon. Any reservations? Antonio Brown is the only returning Steeler from last year who did anything. Ben Roethlisberger has got a bunch of inexperienced young guys at the wide receiver position. No worries that his numbers are going to drop. You know, defense is going to be keying in on Brown. No worries about that?
Defensive keyed in on him last year. He was surprised 2 years ago, and so he was no surprise last year, and he still was able to put up the most receptions of a wide receiver. So I have no reservations about picking up Antonio Brown. None at all. None at all.
Okay. All right, well, I had some reservations, so we're going to certainly keep track on that. All right, let's get back to Victor. With number one, your first pick to fill in, you have Aaron Rodgers and Giovanni Bernard. So it makes sense. You grab Reggie Bush, another running back to put behind Bernard. And then who did you go with your second-round pick?
Rashad Jennings. I don't like New York, and I don't like their offense, but something that you said, it resonated. Well, first of all, pickings that I had to pick from,
okay.
I saw that Rashad Jennings was the best one available. I picked him over C.J. Spiller because I really think Spiller's going to suck this year. And Jerry just went on auto-pick for whatever reason, not sure why, and he has back-to-back picks.
I'm having technical difficulties here.
Oh, well, you're up, guy. You're up. You got 43 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm having
technical difficulties here.
Okay, I'm gonna meet you out for 1 second, Jerry, and let you do your thing.
Okay.
He just got C.J. Spiller. He just picked up C.J. Spiller, and he's jumping in and out of the chat room.
Okay. I'll give him a second to get himself together for that.
Yeah, but the reason why I got Rashad Jennings is because I think he has a higher ceiling than the backs that were left. There's a run on wide receiver going right now because there's some decent wide receivers left out there.
Right.
To be very truthful, I would love to have a couple of these wide receivers. Will I get to them? I don't know. Jerry got his favorite player again, Michael Floyd. So he picked up in back-to-back picks C.J. Spiller and Michael Floyd.
Got it.
I can tell you right now that this is going to be an interesting draft, especially with 14 teams. So go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you. So same thing. Jennings was a guy that we spoke on before you guys actually get to the draft. And same thing. I mean, he. I think it's so funny how it works. And I'm going to compare and contrast Jennings' situation to Jamaal Charles. Now Jamaal Charles is in a situation like a Ben Tate, like a Zach Stacy, where he's really the only viable threat that the team has, but in my opinion, Jamaal Charles is a exceptional talent. He is an elite player, and so with his combination of speed, I mean, this guy can hit from anywhere on the field. He's a full package, inside out. He can do it all. My only concern with him was workload. Is he, you know, I mean, to lead your team in yards receiving, yards rushing, touchdown. I mean, they worked the heck out of this guy last year. So that was my only concern. But I think that he's a player, even though he's the only threat, you know that he's going to get his money. A guy like Rashard Jennings, same thing, really not right now the only threat, not too impressed with the other weapons around him. No worries on your end that he is going to end up getting glued to the possible poor overall production of the Giants offense.
No, you know, I think that because of the struggles that Eli's having in the passing game, they're going to go more to the run. And again, this is a PPR league. I pretty much do all PPR leagues now. I really don't do standard leagues. But that's where I am with that. And I'm about to come up with my next pick in 28 seconds. And I'll let you know who that is. Depends on who the person in front of me picks. But right now I have my mind I have a need at wide receiver, and a lot of them flew off the board. So hopefully I can grab this one guy. And he just got picked in front of me, which was Rob Gronkowski. That's who I was going for, and he just got picked in front of me. So I'm not too happy about that, but it is what it is.
Hey, what number are you, Vic?
Say again?
What number are you?
I'm picking right now.
What number in the draft are you?
I'm number 9. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to grab a guy that's going to have a huge year, and I'm going to skip over some big-name guys. I grabbed Emmanuel Sanders. The reason why I grabbed Emmanuel Sanders is because I do believe with Wes Welker's situation, he's going to have a ball-out year. I left a couple of top-flight names on the board there, mainly because it's a boom or bust situation with those other receivers, and that's what we were talking about earlier. Whether these guys are going to, you know, jump up and be that great player, or are they going to disappoint? So that's why I picked Emmanuel Sanders.
All right, we're going to get back to you in a minute. Let's go ahead and get Jerry back in here on his last couple picks. All right, Jerry, so your second pick, by default, if I'm not – correct me if I'm wrong. I know you had to get on auto picks for a minute while you got some technicality straightened out. You ended up with C.J. Spiller, though. I think he's one of the he's another boom or bust guy, though. I mean, this guy, if he can stay healthy throughout the season, he's proven that he can be effective, but we know that he's had a – he struggled with injury, so we certainly hope that can happen. The number 3 pick, you can let us know as well. I don't know if that was an auto pick or your choice. I believe so. I heard Victor mention this is your guy. Went with Michael Floyd from the Arizona Cardinals. So why don't you elaborate on your last 2 picks?
Yeah, I'm not too happy about C.J. Spiller because I'm really not a C.J. Spiller fan. So he's automatically going to be a trade offer to somebody who may want him. Michael Floyd, I think in that Bruce Arians offense, any viable good wide receiver is going to flourish in that, and I think he's going to do the same. So with a good ball thrower, as in Carson Palmer, who's a great ball, deep ball thrower, he's going to be throwing to Michael Floyd, and he was showing out last year. Those receivers, Fitzgerald and Floyd, are 1 and 1A in my opinion. I think both of them could be a number 1 wide receiver. So I like Michael Floyd.
Okay, and whose pick is it? I want to make sure I don't get somebody caught
that
up in the crosshairs.
That was me. I just picked Torrey Smith to complete my receivers, starting receivers. So right now my team is Aaron Rodgers, Emmanuel Sanders, Torrey Smith, Giovanni Bernard, Reggie Bush, and Rashad Jennings. And just like yesterday, Jerry and I were discussing it. Week 4 doesn't look too good for me as far as bye week goes.
Yeah, see?
It is what it is.
Okay. All right. So we're working our way back up to Jerry here. So, I'd like to elaborate a little bit on the Emmanuel Sanders pick at number 3 for Victor. Give Jerry a moment here to get himself prepared to make a couple picks. I like the pick a lot. Emmanuel Sanders is actually one of the players who, coming into the draft, his stock was certainly rising. And he's certainly a player. When you look at what Eric Decker did, as the 4th option over there last year, 12 TD receptions over 1,100 yards, 87 catches. And you made a very good point. One of the things for my I did an article, and it was talking about quality wide receivers, the depth. And some of the areas that I were rating them on was their value in a bye week, their value if the starting wide receiver for that team gets hurt. Who that player's quarterback is, and his value if he has to step in for one of your starters, if one of your starters has a very tough matchup. And Emmanuel Sanders was the top receiver that I had. He has Peyton Manning as his quarterback. If Demaryius Thomas or Wes Welker were to get hurt, his targets are going to increase. And then just the way that Peyton Manning spreads the ball around on a bye week or fill in. I think he has excellent value. So I really like that pick there at number three. You know, I don't know some of the other guys that you passed over, but I think that Emmanuel Sanders is a guy who has a lot of upside and value. I think that you may not see the numbers as consistently on a week-in and week-out basis, but he's certainly a threat. So I like the Emmanuel Sanders pick there. And then he went with Torrey Smith at number four. He's obviously Joe Flacco's top target. And I think that Flacco's going to spread the wealth out a little more. I'm not sure what Smith's numbers are going to look like, but he should certainly be able to take advantage of a little bit more one-on-one coverage with the additions of Steve Smith and the Ravens having a little bit more depth at wide receiver. Last year, Smith was pretty much on his own. And so real quick, we're going to just review Victor's lineup. His two keeper players were Aaron Rodgers, starting quarterback Green Bay, Giovanni Bernard from the Bengals, and then he went with Reggie Bush as his number one pick. So I certainly like Bush and Bernard as running backs, versatile. This is a PPR league. Both of those guys can get it done on the ground and through the air. Rashard Jennings, we're hopeful. You know, Giants offense not looking good, but he's a guy who has some value, especially getting goal line carries. And we have mentioned Emmanuel Sanders and Torrey Smith. Jerry should be pretty close to making his pick, or has that happened already? Where are we at in the draft here?
Jerry, go ahead.
I've made my pick. Oh, where the hell am
okay.
I at now? Where the hell? Oh, there I am. My team is this. I'm drafting because I'm having technical difficulties with my PC. I'm drafting off my phone. So
okay.
I have Ben Roethlisberger. I went Steeler heavy. So I got most of the skill players from the Steelers.
Okay.
Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown. I also have Michael Floyd, along with my two keepers, Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell. And my last pick, which was the I also have C.J. Spiller. And in the sixth or seventh round, I think it was the seventh round, I picked up Kyle Rudolph.
Okay. Well, that was your fifth. Oh, excuse me. That is seven because you guys are counting two original players. Okay, so in the seventh mm-hmm. round, it was Kyle Rudolph. All right, so for you, Jerry, question right off the top. This is mm-hmm. a strategy that I see a lot of people use. I tend to shy away from it. I mean, certainly there are some cases where you can understand that, but how do you feel? I kind of when you pick the starting quarterback, running back, and wide receiver, basically the starters for these teams. The number one, we know that Roethlisberger is a starter, Le'Veon right. Bell is a starter, and Antonio Brown's the number one receiving option. Do you ever get worried that if their offense plays poorly, that it affects every single fantasy player's numbers for the week? Has that been a problem for you in the past, or any concerns about that?
Well, usually I don't do that, but when I like I said, I was having technical difficulties, and in between there, I lost some quarterbacks that I may have picked up in an earlier round. And
okay.
from the quarterbacks I saw, he was the best viable quarterback that I figured I would take, and
okay.
unfortunately, he's on the same team as Antonio Brown and quite naturally okay. Le'Veon Bell. So I don't normally
okay.
do that. As far as I've gone with that, I usually take I've taken the quarterback and the wide receiver, but never the quarterback, the wide receiver, and the running back on the same team.
Okay. Well, we know it can work both ways. Certainly when
mm-hmm.
Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown hook up in the passing game, that's double-digit points. There's certainly nothing wrong with having a top-tier quarterback, wide receiver, 1-2 punch. That's certainly an effective strategy. And like you said, sometimes by default, we certainly understand that. But looking at your lineup, you certainly needed a quarterback. And so if Ben Roethlisberger was the best quarterback available, then that's certainly understandable because it sounds like, I know where Ben Roethlisberger goes in drafts, has got to be getting pretty thin at the wide receiver position. And then you went with Kyle Rudolph in round number seven. Rudolph is certainly a tight end whose stock is on the rise. Matt Castle has
right.
been named a starter. They were hooking up in the preseason. Rudolph had 9 TDs back in 2012. Battled injuries last year, but he lost a lot of weight in the offseason. He looks really good. What's your take on Rudolph? I like Kyle Rudolph a lot.
I absolutely love Kyle Rudolph. You kidding me? Anytime a tight end, a decent tight end has been in North Turner offense, they flourished. So along with the running back in the North Turner offense, I love North Turner as an offensive coordinator, and the tight end position and running position have always done well in North Turner. And that's so I'm going with history there. So
I can't okay. go wrong. I shouldn't go wrong there.
Yeah, I agree. I like Kyle Rudolph a lot. I think he's in line for a bounce back year. Big, especially being 6'8", big time red zone target, and you know the defenses have to respect play action with Adrian Peterson. So I like Rudolph that pick a lot at number 7. I think he brings a lot of value to the table, being able to pick him up in later rounds. All right, let's check back in with Mr. Gardner. I heard his sound go off there, so I don't know if he's close to working his way back up for his second pick, but. Why don't you fill us in on your 7th-round pick, Victor?
Not a problem. Actually, Jerry's about to come up. But
okay.
I'll run down who I got. I picked up Greg Olsen okay. and Knowshon Moreno with
nice.
My last couple of picks.
Okay.
So right now I'm looking at my team. My starters are set except for my defense kicker and defensive players.
Okay.
I have Aaron Rodgers, Emmanuel Sanders, Torrey Smith, Giovanni Bernard, Reggie Bush, Greg Olsen, Rashad Jennings, and Knowshon Moreno on my roster. So there are a lot of talented players out here, a lot of them. And I'm not going to, you know, just grab just to be grabbing, you know what I mean? I'm gonna get me some guys that are extremely talented, extremely gifted, and are going to provide me a great opportunity to kick some butt in this league. So,
I just wanted to say I like those picks. Greg Olsen, to catch him in the 7th round, I think that's kind of considered a steal. He was ranked number 6 on my tight end rankings. I believe Jerry, he was number 5. Look, we already know out in Carolina this year, he's got a brand new set of wide receivers that he's working with. I've been seeing him target Greg Olsen a lot in the preseason. Olsen definitely,
mm-hmm.
if you look at his numbers the last couple years, has certainly excelled. I think that Greg Olsen is an excellent latter round pick without question. He is going to be Cam Newton's security blanket and get a heck of a lot of targets. And he's a fast guy. You know, he definitely can get separation from linebackers. So I certainly like Greg Olsen. We certainly hope Cam Newton can get fully healthy and be able to deliver that football to him. And then Knowshon Moreno is a running back whose fantasy stock is rising very fast. Lamar
mm-hmm.
Miller, the starting running back for the Dolphins, the Dolphins did not commit to him this year. And Knowshon Moreno was brought in to kind of help the running game, be the third down running back, and take the goal line carries. But Miller was still the starter. But in Moreno's absence, Moreno didn't even play into the third preseason game. Miller did nothing to solidify a stronghold on that starting role, and Moreno has been very impressive in his preseason games. And look, this is the skinny on Knowshon Moreno. In his time in Denver, even if you think back to University of Georgia, this guy can play football. This is a legitimate football player, can run out the catch out the backfield, but injuries, you know, really limited, you know, his production in Denver. So I think that Knowshon Moreno, especially in later rounds, I actually picked him up. He was one of my running backs I had as far as depth was concerned. I picked him up yesterday. I think that by the time the midseason comes around at the latest, this guy is going to be the featured back in Miami. So I really like those last two picks there for you, Victor.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And to be quite honest, you know what spurred me getting Knowshon? The fact that I had MJD queued up and he was taken
mm-hmm.
was one. But
mm-hmm.
the second thing is, they got rid of Daniel Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
What that tells me is that Knowshon is going to get a lot more touches, whether Lamar Miller likes it or not. And
yep.
he's a better pass blocker than Miller. So that also tells me that they're going to be behind a lot. So he's going to be in a lot. That's basically what it says to me.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not he develops into a quality backup for me, or I throw him in my three running back set, you know, I don't know. But right now, I just picked Luke Kuechly, my first defensive player, to finish up my starting lineup here. People are going after offensive players right now, so I decided, you know what, instead of diluting what I have on my board, I'll just grab some top defensive players. And maybe they'll still be here when I get my next pick coming up, but we'll see.
All right, sounds good. So we're going to get back to your two picks. Picked up Luke Kuechly in the seventh round there, so we'll come back to Victor in a minute. He's got another pick coming in soon. Let's go back to Jerry for your sixth and seventh round picks, Jerry. I'm getting off with the two players already selected. For your eighth and ninth round picks, who did you pick up?
My eighth round pick, I picked up Justin Hunter. And my ninth round pick, I picked up Jeremy Hill.
Jeremy. Okay, running back Cincinnati. All right, so let's go ahead and elaborate on those. Justin Hunter, another player who stocked. I'm sorry, Jared. Go ahead, jump in.
I'm feeling Justin Hunter's got a lot of upside. He's a big, tall wide receiver. Second-year wide receiver, there's usually a big jump from first to second year if the wide receiver has any ability, and I think he does. The only drawback is that he's got the Jake Locker, who's not a quarterback I like, but I think this guy's going to be a red zone target. Kendall Wright, more likely the big play wide receiver. Justin Hunter is the red zone wide receiver. And quite naturally, Jeremy Hill is going to be splitting carries with Giovanni Bernard, who Victor has. And I do believe that he may also go to be the goal line back as the season goes on. So I like Jeremy Hill and Justin Hunter as my last two picks. I was trying to get Carlos Hyde, who I know is going to get some touches, but he went ahead of me quite naturally, so I went this route. And I'm waiting for a player. Hopefully I can pick him up. And I got quite a bit of time for my next pick.
I think I know who you're waiting on, too. And I'm going to be mad that I didn't get him with my last pick, but I'm happy that I just got Vontaze Buford to go with Luke Kuechly. So.
All right. So let's go ahead, Jerry, real quick on your picks. Like Justin Hunter a lot, definitely had an excellent preseason. Certainly had a nice rookie campaign last year. He's a player whose stock is definitely rising as well. In my opinion, he looks like the best receiver for the Titans. I think the tricky thing with him is it's going to be a carousel. I think that 1 week Hunter will lead the pack. 1 week you'll see Nate Washington end up with the most points. The next week you'll see Kendall Rice. I don't think they have a solidified number one receiver there. As you mentioned as well, I think Hunter has upside as well with a big 6'4 frame, being a huge red zone target. And he's a big play guy. I like Justin Hunter a lot. Like I said, you mentioned it, Dell had the best quarterback in Jake Locker, so I don't think you'll see consistent numbers. But considering, where you're landing him, I think he's an excellent pick to grab in later rounds. And then you mentioned Jeremy Hill, same thing. Now, quick question, because I know that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was kind of sitting on the chopping block. They were really evaluating Hill to see what they were going to do with him. Is Green Ellis still on the Bengals roster, or did he get cut?
He got released.
Okay, so that automatically, great pick there, Jerry. Definitely Jeremy Hill now, like you said, getting the second touches behind. He'll be getting carries behind Bernard. He should certainly get the goal line carries. I think they were doing that last year using the kind of bigger back. And, again, if Giovanni Bernard were to get injured, now Hill's a starter. So certainly great pickup there with Jeremy Hill in the eighth round. Now let's get back over to Victor, who went defense for his eighth and ninth round picks. You heard him mention that while guys were stocking up on offense players, he said let him get a couple big-time players, Luke Kuechly, returning defensive player of the year. We know he's a guy who knows how to fill the stat box up. And then you mentioned Vontaze Burfict, another guy who certainly over 130 tackles, finds himself involved in fumble recoveries, force fumbles, can get back into coverage. So why don't you go ahead and elaborate? I like both of those guys. I would consider, obviously Kuechly, is probably the best middle linebacker in the NFL right now, and Burfict definitely a top 5 to 10 outside linebacker. So go ahead, Drew, give us the skinny on your defensive picks there.
Guys are flying off the board with offensive players, and there's some good ones. But there, one guy that I was going to get, or two of them I was going to get, just flew off, which were Andrew Hawkins, and I had Reuben Randall as a couple of sleepers. So I'm going a different direction now. But that's why I decided to go get my defensive players, because they're grabbing great talent. But for me, I'm like, my starters are already set on offense. I'm going to go ahead and get some decent players for my bench because, again, they're only going to be spot duty players. So why don't I just grab the top talent on the defensive side? And so that's why I chose those two players.
Okay. Definitely sounds good. I think we are, Jerry should be kind of close to making either his ninth or tenth round pick. Have you made your ninth round pick yet, Jerry?
We're in the 11th round right now.
Dang. Okay. I guess I'm getting a little out of whack here. Okay.
We just started 11th round.
Yeah, okay, somehow. Oh, you know what? I keep doing that because I forget the top two picks that you guys have. Okay. Have you made your next selection after Jeremy Hill yet?
Yes, I have. My last pick I picked up in the 10th round was Andrew Hawkins.
That's who grabbed Andrew Hawkins from me, by the way.
No. See, let me tell you something. And you keep on doing this. You keep saying you took him from me. You never had him, so I never took him from you. So if you had him and I took him, then you could say that. But you never had him in the first place. So you can't take somebody if you never had him.
All right. And so I'm going to let you make your next pick, Jerry. Or have you made your 11th round, or is it coming up right now?
I got a ways to go.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we're working our way back down to you, Victor. Is that correct?
Yeah,
I'm up
he's
in.
So I'm gonna let Jerry talk about Andrew Hawkins while you go ahead and make your couple selections. Go ahead, Jerry. Give us your thinking on Andrew Hawkins. I know Nate Burleson got cut from Cleveland. Cleveland is desperate for somebody to step up in their passing game. Tell us, what's your prospect? What's your hopes for Andrew Hawkins?
He's going to be the number one receiver. He's going to be, in my opinion, he's going to be a PPR monster. There's two guys that Brian Hoyer is going to be throwing to.
Okay.
Jordan Cameron and Andrew Hawkins.
Okay.
So besides them running the ball. So he's the number one wide receiving target, so I'm taking him. Because I have a lot of faith in what they're going to do. I'm not a huge Brian Hoyer fan, but from what I saw of him last year, and the way they were running, even though it was a different offensive coordinator, I think he's a capable quarterback. He's borderline starter, not a fantasy, but he's a borderline starter in the NFL. Quite naturally, he is starting. But I think he can do well to his skill players, meaning Jordan Cameron and Andrew Hawkins. So that's one of the reasons why I took Andrew Hawkins. My next pick, I'm going to take this guy.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I would certainly agree there. Cleveland is definitely lacking at receivers. So Andrew Hawkins, a guy. We're going to keep our eye. I got him circled. PPR league. I know that for those of you who may not be too familiar with the name, don't remember him, he was over in Cincinnati the last couple years in the slot position. And really doing well. Unfortunately, injuries kind of marred him. But he's a guy who really excels in the slot, a real shifty player. And I would have to agree. I mean, when you look at, I don't know if Miles Austin made the cut, but I know coming into the preseason, it was like Miles Austin. Okay, so Miles Austin and Burleson were the veterans. After that, it was totally up in the air. There were a bunch of undrafted late round picks outside of Hawkins. So certainly, and we mentioned PPR league. I think he has a lot of potential, so we're going to keep an eye on that one. That sounds like a good pick there in the 10th. Let's jump back over to Victor. You have picks in the 11th and 12th round. Who were your selections?
In the 11th round, I picked up Dwayne Bowe. He only has a one-game suspension, and he's the only other option, really, other than Jamaal Charles in Kansas City. The only problem is I don't like Alex Smith, but I needed some receiver depth. And he was the best thing on the board. And then with my 12th round pick, I got a favorite of Jerry's, and that's Carson Palmer. He's my backup behind Aaron Rodgers. I only need him for 1 week, and that'll be week 9. So, you know, after that, I'll probably get rid of him unless Aaron Rodgers gets injured again. So.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Let me ask you this real quick, Jerry. I'll let you chime in. My question to you then is, Victor, you said that you're only going to use on week nine on a bye week for Aaron Rodgers. So that means that you are going to start Aaron Rodgers this Thursday night at Seattle, which obviously is the top defense in the league, and we've seen the trouble that they've given last year. Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, the top quarterbacks in the league, they shut these guys down. Opening game, Seattle's going to be representing a trophy. You know, a 12th man is going to be crazy. You are confident starting Aaron Rodgers this Thursday night. You will not go with, you don't think, Carson Palmer. I don't know who the Cardinals are playing. We can look that up real
quick.
San Diego.
They're playing San Diego.
Oh, all right. So you're going to go with A-Rod still. You don't think Palmer will be a better matchup against the Chargers?
Yeah. Lance, I think I played Jerry game one, so I'm not going to tell him who I'm going to start live on the air.
Okay, gotcha.
You're blowing up my strategy here, bro. Hey, Rob. Hold on.
Let me say this though, Victor. But that shouldn't be the case though, because even if you tell Jerry that now, what is that going to do to his outcome?
Listen, I want Jerry to go in there with confidence. Confidence believing he's going to beat me. That's what I want to do. You've gone from Robin to Van of the Wonder Twins. Keep going.
Hey, Victor, real quick. I'm going to cut you off. Let me you finish. I see my mistake. Let me get a caller in on the line. Been sitting there patiently for some time. I really appreciate that. Why don't you come in and join us, caller? I apologize. Welcome to the Master Plan. We're in the middle of the draft. Who is it that we have with us today? Hello, I got a 413 number. I just let on the line. Sorry, I've been having you waiting for a while. If you can hear me, please join us.
Okay, can you hear me now?
There we go. Perfect. How you doing today?
Okay, I'm doing well. 413 would be out of the Massachusetts area. Listen, guys, no, I just tuned in because I find it interesting on your week before, you got your fantasy pick going pretty good, and the commentary is excellent. You guys are doing well. Actually, I'm just here. I'm just on Blog Talk, just listening. So I'm going to mute myself, but you guys are doing well. I want you to hear that.
Okay, thank you very much, Wayne. Thanks for joining us. Okay, so no problem. Just hang in there with us. I'll bring you back in shortly. Sorry about that, Jerry. Victor, I did not mean to cut you off. I just wanted to get that call. I seen him sitting for 10 minutes. My bad there. Go ahead, finish getting on Jerry, and then we'll go ahead and look at Jerry's two picks, and then we're going to do.
Getting on Jerry.
No, that's fine. That's fine. The whole thing is, you know, by the way, for that caller, thanks for calling. If he doesn't have that question mark come up by his name, he's just listening, so you don't have to bring him on. He'll press one if he wants to come on.
Okay.
My only thing is this. You know, I understand Seattle's defense is tops in the league, and they have been balling out during the preseason as well. No question. I mean, you don't put it out there. No, I didn't plan on starting Aaron Rodgers week one. I do like Carson's matchup versus San Diego's defense a whole lot better. I was going to go with Tannehill, but I said, you know what, I don't trust Tannehill because he can't throw the ball deep. I'm coming up on my next pick, and right now I'm looking for a little running back support, and I'm going to get this guy. This guy has already been said to be the goal line back as well as splitting the carries with one Le'Veon Bell. So, therefore, I just picked LeGarrette Blount. Now, again, I'm only grabbing guys that I'm going to use in a bye week. So week four is when my first running back goes on bye. So I have no Sean Marino or LeGarrette Blount to fill in for Giovanni. But if LeGarrette's going to be the goal line vulture, I might as well use him. They're talking about going back to Steeler football, and that's ground and pound. Even though they're talking about doing no huddle as well, I might as well grab a big back that has proven he can tote the rock in between the tackles.
All right. I agree there. I'm going to come back to your picks in a minute. Victor, I know you got 14 coming back. Let me catch up on Jerry's his last few picks. And also, I'm looking at our clock here, and so I don't know if we're going to be finished in 20 minutes, 18 minutes. It doesn't sound like it. So I don't know if you have a chance, Victor, to extend our time a little more or if our time is going to be up.
We're good. It'll go into overtime.
Okay.
It just won't be live for some people. That's the only difference.
Okay. All right. So, Jerry, go ahead. You had a couple picks while we were talking about Carson Palmer, bringing our caller in. Who were the last two picks that you made?
Oh, okay. The last two picks I made were Christian Michael and Niles Davis.
Uh-huh. Couple back there who hold some value if their starters get hurt. Why don't you elaborate on those two backups there, both of those guys. Well, we got to wait to see what Michael did. We know last year he was out all year with the injury, but Niles Davis definitely looked good last year as a rookie running back behind Jamaal Charles.
Both players are very explosive and big backs. If ever the Marshawn Lynch happens to go down or for some reason he doesn't play, then Christian Michael, I absolutely love his upside. And same with Niles Davis. I'm thinking that Jamaal Charles, I just got a bad feeling that he's not going to be as good as he was in last year. Now, I could be wrong, but Niles Davis is an ample fill-in and won't miss a beat if he happens to have the starting position. So I like Niles Davis. And my next pick is going to be in the 14th or 15th round, so I got a ways to go.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. These rosters are starting to take form. And, Victor, just going to real quick touch on your last couple picks, and then you should be the major two picks. You picked LeGarrette Blount in the 13th round. Dwayne Bowe, I really don't know what to say about this guy. You know, I know that you mentioned he's going to miss one game with the marijuana. I know that there were reports from head coach Andy Reid in training camp that he had finger issues. One of his fingers were broken, fractured, what may have you. He was dropping a lot of balls in preseason. And this is a situation that I don't understand because, like you said, if you look at the Chiefs roster, even last year, after Dwayne Bowe, your second best wide receiver is Donnie Avery, you know, a guy who basically speed is his calling card. That's about all he can do. You don't have anybody there to catch the football. So everybody, myself included, was thinking, hey, you know, Dwayne Bowe, this guy should be able to make some major noise. You got a new quarterback, Alex Smith. You don't have any other receivers remotely close, quote-unquote, to Bowe's talent level. But ever since he led the NFL in touchdown receptions back in 2011, 2012 and 13, this guy's been invisible. And, I just, you know, even last year there were some games he just didn't get the targets. So I don't understand it, but there were some games that he was relevant. I think that he's more of a hopeful, optimistic pick. Again, you said he was the best wide receiver on the board, which I don't know. I kind of find that hard to believe considering some of the rookies and stuff that may be available. But Dwayne Bowe is a guy who obviously, from what he can do upside-wise, I think he has a ceiling. So that's a worry. And then you picked up LeGarrette Blount. I thought that was an interesting pick because Jerry has Le'Veon Bell. And if Bell were to get hurt, and I mentioned this in my handcuff section in one of my other articles, that you would actually benefit from that Steelers rushing attack. So I thought that was very interesting. Then why don't you go ahead and fill us in on your 14th pick and go ahead and give me some more feedback on Bo. Sound like there was something you wanted to say about that.
Okay. I got Hakeem Nicks with my next pick after LeGarrette Blount. The reason why is because T.Y., just like Avery, is a speed guy. Can get down the field. Great. Beautiful. Love it. Production happened towards the end of the season. Can he carry it over this year? I don't know. You've got Reggie Wayne coming back. Then you've got Kobe Swinger and Dwayne Allen and stuff like that. I think Hakeem is out to prove. He's on a one-year contract. He's out to prove something to everybody that he can still play in the league. So, and during the preseason, he showed that he could be trustworthy for Mr. Luck. Now, as far as Dwayne Bowe goes, the reason why I grabbed him was because, and I said the best value on the board, there aren't that many starting number ones left on the board, if any. And I understand the rookies and all that other stuff, but I'm looking for number one targets because these guys are the ones that have plays drawn up for them specifically for every game. Rookies, they're like, for example, Sammy Watkins.
I'm going back now.
Just like I was saying with Sammy Watkins, kid's the number one receiver, but he's proven to be a little fragile thus far.
What time is your draft?
So, that's my thing.
That's what time it's supposed to be there, right?
So.
Okay. All right. No problem. I agree with you there. Hold on a second. Are you still on the line with me, Victor?
I am.
Okay,
you just muted Jerry because of it. No.
Okay.
It's all
right.
Right
person.
Jerry.
No, I was trying to make
Jerry.
Sure that was the right person. That was the right person. I got. That's all I was trying to make sure of. Okay.
Yeah. I see.
Okay.
Host.
So.
I'm host.
Okay. Okay, got you. So, yeah, with Bowe, like I said, there's hope. You know, I mean, he's without question, he's the number one receiver. That is for sure. So I can certainly understand that there. And if, like I said, I don't know what the problem, he's had two down years. So he should hopefully be able to rebound. I mean, he's certainly set for success. If he can't do well, then it's certainly not due to his circumstance because he doesn't have anybody else around him. So I like that pick. Joaquin Nix pick, I like that as well. We know that Nix, hey, look, back then him. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I just grabbed Tavon Austin with my last pick while you were talking. I grabbed Tavon Austin.
Okay,
as well.
We'll get to that. But I like Nix a lot. T.Y. Hilton came out this preseason and said that he feels the Colts have three number one wide receivers. You know, the Andrew Luck. Look, but nowadays with these quarterbacks, the more weapons, the better. And so I certainly think that in Indianapolis you could see a similar situation, even though the quarterback play is better than Tennessee. But I think this could be a revolving door. I think that one week Hilton could lead, you know, on points. The next week Wayne. The next week Nix. So I certainly think that Nix has value. And again, if Wayne or Hilton were to get hurt, his value increases. And look, Joaquin Nix in New York, outside of being injured, for the high majority played at a high level. So I like the Nix pick a lot. And then Tavon Austin, he's obviously a guy who, now that Sam Bradford's not there, I mean, that was kind of the hope that, you know, when he drafted Austin, you're figuring outside of being hurt, Danny Amendola did a lot of damage out of the slot. You had the same hopes for Tavon Austin. Now Deshaun Hill is going to be the quarterback. You don't know, but again, we look on the upside. You know, if Austin can pop through, again, this is a PPR league. There's certainly some upside for him there. Give me 1 second, Victor. We'll come back and get your analysis on Tavon. Let me check back in with Jerry and see what you've done with your last couple picks after Christian Michael and now Davis.
All right. Let me take a look here. Let me walk in real quick.
I was going to say, by the way, if somebody has to go at 9 or be somewhere at 9, I'm hosting the show, so you can just go ahead and drop off. Don't worry about it if one of you guys got to take off. I got
right,
it.
From what I did, my last two picks, because I'm going to my rest of my picks are going to be one guy on the bench and defensive players. So I'm going to drop off with you guys. And my rest of my picks are going to be auto pick for the defensive players. So my last two picks, I picked up the Tampa Bay defense and also picked up a kicker, which was Phil Dawson.
Okay. Okay. All right. We like those. Go ahead. Give us your outlook for Tampa's D and Phil Dawson. He was a top five rated kicker in most people's rankings this year out in San Fran.
Yes. I like Phil Dawson a lot. He's going to get a lot of work. There's going to be a lot of red zone working that he's going to have. So I like him a lot. So with that being said, I got to go, guys.
I know, bro. I got you.
You guys enjoy. Have a good rest of the show. And I'll catch you guys next week.
Okay. Sure thing, Jerry. Have a good one.
All right. Yep,
take it easy, old man.
See you later. Bye.
All right, Robin, your Batman has left the building. You are all alone. Okay, check it out. I'm back up, and I'm filling out my bench right now. I still have to get a defense and a kicker because the draft's really over in two picks, so two more rounds. But in my last pick, I just picked Jacquez Rogers. I'll explain why. Early on in the season, I was high on Devontae Freeman. I was. But when I saw that he was having struggles picking up the offense, picking up the blitzes and stuff like that, I said there's no way they're going to put this guy out there if Steven Jackson can't come back from his injury. He's injury-prone pretty much. And there's no way, in my opinion, that Mike Smith is going to put that guy out there right now until he's 100% sure he can protect Matty Ice and he can read his keys when he's running the ball. So who does that leave? That leaves Jacquez Rogers, who did it last year, who's capable of doing it. He's already the third down back, but there's two other players pushing him for that spot. Freeman is one of them. But I know that Jackson's not going to finish the season, and at some point Jacquez is going to get his opportunities. And in a PPR, a back that catches the ball and can run the ball is gold. So that's why I picked him.
Okay.
Go ahead with you, and then we can go over whatever you want. If you want to go over other teams now that Jerry's gone, I can pull them down and go over them as well, but it's up to you.
Yeah. Well, let me go ahead real quick. Jacquez, definitely good pick. Like you mentioned, two rookies. And let me mention this before I forget as well, to our caller. Once again, thank you so much for calling in. We definitely appreciate that. You know you can find us as well on Twitter, NFL Exporter. That's NFLExporter. Also, I'm going to let Victor give his. I can't remember it fully through. But, you know, the reason I'm mentioning this is if we happen to lose you on our live broadcast, maybe check back in about a half an hour into an hour. You know that the website that you're on now, the web address, will have the show in its entirety if you do happen to get cut off. So I just wanted to thank my caller once again. Please make sure to join us every week. We certainly, if we don't have time this week, we want you to call back next week so we can get some input from you. But definitely make sure if you get cut off to listen to the show in its entirety. It should be posted up about an hour after we finish. Victor, why don't you go ahead and give the Twitter, you know, your Facebook, what may have you, and then I'll get in on Jacquez Rogers, and then we'll look at the rest of Jerry's lineup and get into some of these other teams.
Okay. On Twitter, you can follow me at FanSportsAndPaul. That's FanSportsAndPaul. Lance, since you said they can come back here to BallTalkRadio.com/VICHDK shortly after the show, you can always go to spotonradio.webs.com. That's our 24-hour, 365 streaming radio station. So every episode that's done on our network, whether it's the Master Plan, Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew Show, No Chaser, Fantasy Sports and Politics, and the soon-to-arrive on September 8th, Extra Point, they're all going to be over there at spotonradio.webs.com, streaming 24/7, 365. Episodes change weekly, so you have that. And all of this is brought to you by fantasysportsbookandcasino.com, where winners win and players play. So go over there and place your wagers, because college football had some upsets, and you could have got paid because a lot of these teams did not cover the spread.
Alabama
covered the spread, yes. That's just one of them. But, like, UCLA, they were 21-point favorites. They won by, what, 6, 7? You could have got paid, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you. And then you have professional football as well. And basketball is coming up, so you never know. But with that being said, we have multiple sites to go to, multiple things to listen to, and our information, we try to give you the best that we can. We try to entertain you and inform you and motivate you at the same time. Now, where were we going to go? Where were we going to go after that?
Yeah, no problem. What we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and give a little analysis on Jaquez Rodgers. We're going to look at Jerry's last two picks. I'm assuming since he had to leave, I don't know if he was able to do it by phone or he had to auto pick. And then we're going to look at Jerry's roster. We're going to look at the rest of the teams. And I also wanted to mention too, definitely, like I said, spread the word around. We are certainly bringing top notch analysis and breakdowns reporting to you. We know we respect all of our colleagues, a lot of great shows, NFL Network, ESPN, so on and so forth, but we are certainly bringing that same quality of expertise and advice to the table. So certainly don't be afraid to come and check us out. We know it's thousands of shows out there online, on radio, on TV, but certainly make it a point to drop by and check us out. Within the, you know, your 7-day schedule. Again, he listed all the websites, so you can kind of check us out at your convenience. But we are certainly going to make sure that you are on point throughout the course of the entire NFL season, especially with your fantasy football. That leads us over to Jaquez Rodgers. Very good pickup there. Coming into preseason, Bishop Sankey, the rookie running back for the Tennessee Titans, Devonta Freeman, rookie running back for the Atlanta Falcons. Both of those gentlemen, their coaches wanted them. Sankey actually had a chance to start out in Tennessee. Freeman had a chance to be the number two running back or at least be splitting some of that playing time with Jaquez Rodgers. But both of those guys, and it's very common for rookie running backs, had trouble in pass protection, had trouble holding on to the football, fumbling, and then picking up an offensive system. You know that Matt Ryan is running a very intricate system out in Atlanta. And then Bishop Sankey, and there was a lot of hope for him because the Titans had one of the best run-blocking offensive lines in the NFL with guys like second-year guard Chance Warmack from Tennessee. Michael Ruhles is still out there, Andy Levitre. They went out and got Michael O'Hare from Baltimore. He's in competition with first-round pick Taylor Lewan. So they got a good run-blocking scheme out in Tennessee. But Sankey also has been indecisive in hitting a hole. He's been running more east and west than north and south. And so both of those guys did not capitalize on their opportunities, and I certainly think that Jaquez Rodgers was the right pick in this situation. He's been in Atlanta longer, and we've seen in past years, whether it was Michael Turner or last year Steven Jackson, when those guys get hurt, Jaquez Rodgers comes in, and he's immediately a guy, especially in the PPR league, who can get you double digits as far as he can catch out the backfield and run the football. So I think that's an excellent pick there at 16 with Jaquez Rodgers. And since we are on you, Victor, I'm going to go ahead and name off your entire starting team so everybody out there can know what you're working with on the table. Let you elaborate on, you know, how you feel your draft went, and then we'll go next with Jerry and run it down the line with the other teams. And so for Victor's squad, his two keeper players was quarterback Aaron Rodgers, the elite quarterback. Most people have him at 2 or 3 on their fantasy boards as far as QB rankings. And he had Giovanni Bernard, the explosive running back out in Cincinnati. Nice pickup. I'm quite sure last year Victor did not know that Hugh Jackson was going to be the offensive coordinator, but it boded well for him. We know that Hugh Jackson likes to run the football a lot. And with Ben Jarvis Green, Ellis gone, Giovanni Bernard definitely is the featured back in Cincinnati. So you got to like those two players. With his third overall pick, Victor went with Reggie Bush. I like that a lot, running back in Detroit. So now he has two running backs, and this is a PPR league. Both these guys, very effective out of the backfield, can take screen passes the distance. Both these guys, very elusive. So I like the running back combination there with Giovanni Bernard and Reggie Bush. For his fourth pick, he started working on his wide receivers. He picked up Emmanuel Sanders from the Denver Broncos. I like that pick a lot. I think that he certainly probably is like a number two wide receiver if you consider the way that Peyton Manning spreads the football around. In the fifth round, he went with Torrey Smith, the number one target out in Baltimore. In the seventh round, he got a top five tight end in Greg Olsen out in Carolina. With his eighth round pick, he went with Knowshon Moreno. Now, this, again, for our callers who weren't in earlier, this is a league where the format is one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, and then your flex player can be a wide receiver, running back, or tight end. You also have your tight end, your kicker, defense, special teams, and two defensive players. So Nosha Moreno, without question, is a viable flex play from the opening of the season. I think that he certainly has some upside to be a starting running back later on in the season. At number picks 9 and 10, he filled in a couple defensive players. He got some stat box fillers in returning defensive player of the year, Luke Kuechly. You know that this guy is all over the football field. Love that pick there. And he went with Vontaze Burfict, the very active outside linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals. He's been to the Pro Bowl the last couple of years. He certainly solidified himself as the leader over there for that Cincinnati defense. At pick number 11, he went with Dwayne Bowe. Again, we're certainly we're hoping the best for him. He certainly has a lot of upside. I think he just has to get his nose back in the grind, have some pride, and Andy Reid's got to find some ways to get him the football. I mean, they don't have any other passing options, so there's a lot of hope for Dwayne Bowe. 13th pick was Carson Palmer. 12th pick was Carson Palmer. So he's got a nice backup there to Aaron Rodgers. I think outside of maybe some tough NFC West matchups, Carson Palmer, if he can keep his interceptions down, they certainly have some weapons out in Arizona for him to play with. His 13th pick was LeGarrette Blount, backup running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Blount is going to get the goal line carries. Pittsburgh wants to pound the football. So that's an excellent pickup, especially if starting running back Le'Veon Bell would get hurt. 14, Hakeem Nicks. Again, Nicks is another guy who's certainly going to be a part of that post-passing game. Should certainly see his fair share of weeks of fantasy football relevance. 15, Tavon Austin. Again, another guy we're hopeful for. We know that the Rams lost their starting quarterback, but the Rams don't have a bona fide receiver. This is a PPR league again as well, so we're thinking that Austin could excel coming out of that slot position. And then last, we just discussed Jaquez Rodgers. So, Victor, how do you feel about your team and how things went in the draft according to, you know, your past experiences with the players in this league and how your overall draft compared to some of the other drafts you had this weekend?
To be quite honest, I think it's a B. I think it's a B. Only because I think my receiving core can be a little better than what it is. I'm happy at all other positions, mainly because running backs in the format, again, I'm talking about the format, they're pretty daggone good. Maybe not better than they might not be the top running back core, but I think for production-wise, what I need them to do, they're going to do well. Tight end, you had to get Greg Olsen in the 7th round. Again, this is a keeper league, so some people kept some tight ends. I was a little shocked by that, but they kept some and whatever. So Greg Olsen was actually the 3rd-rated tight end left on the board. So I thought that was pretty good. Now, my overall finishing position with a rank of B. My schedule, I haven't looked at everybody's team yet, but my schedule, I know who I'm supposed to play. Knowing their tendencies, I'm looking at a championship run. We have 7 teams per division, and we're only sending 6 or 8 to the playoffs. I got to check again. I don't know if I changed it. I'm not going to change it now because we already did the draft. But I'm going to go for that championship. Whether I win it or not, it's all left to be seen. Because you don't know who's going to get hurt. You don't know who's going to stink up the joint. We're predicting maybe Jamal Charles because of his situation. We're predicting this player, that player. But you don't know until it actually happens. And that's the beauty of fantasy football. It's all about speculation, just like the stock market. You can speculate all day that Ameritrade's going to have the best stocks or Fidelity's going to provide you the best stock advice. But only real thing is Apple's going to stay high, Google's going to stay high, Microsoft is going to be high until something comes and takes their place. And that's the way fantasy football is for me.
Okay, that sounds good. That sounds good. All right, now let's go ahead and take a look at Jerry's roster. Let's see what he...
Okay.
What he,
I can run it all the way down if you want.
You know what? I got it here, and then I'll need your assistance on all the other ones.
Okay.
So for Jerry, his keeper players from last year were Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell. Again, we talked a little bit about Bell. In my opinion, without LeGarrette Blount there, he was a bona fide top 10 guy. I had him kind of around 15-ish, especially with Blount getting goal line carries, taking away some of his carries, and some type of suspension likely is going to take place for Le'Veon Bell. But with that being said, Jerry has two good running backs. Adrian Peterson obviously can kind of put in two running backs worth of work a lot of Sundays, so you like that there. The biggest shock was Jerry's third pick. He took Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers over Dez Bryant of the Dallas Cowboys. That one was very shocking to me right there because the Cowboys offense is going to be on the field basically all game. They already, prior coming into the preseason, they had basically one of the worst defenses on paper. They lost Sean Lee, their best defensive player, at inside linebacker. You no longer have DeMarcus Ware. Orlando Scandrick, who was probably their second-best defensive back, he suspended the first four games for the PED policy. Then they had another defensive back just catch a four-game suspension. So this offense is going to be in shootouts every single week because their defense can't stop anybody, let alone Brian is one of the top five wide receivers in the NFL, 12 TDs last year, 1,332 yards, not too far off of Antonio Brown. So that was shocking. I think that Dez Bryant has way more upside. I don't know how many people would do that, but we'll see how it shakes out. Jerry has a lot of confidence in Antonio Brown's abilities, and even though this is a PPR, Jerry Jones also mentioned. This is why I had Dez, I think, was kind of bumped up to number two on a lot of people's charts, number three behind Demaryius. Jerry Jones admitted that when they looked at film last year, him and the Cowboys coaching staff, that they did not give Dez Bryant enough targets, that they are looking to add at least 10 more targets to him a ball game. So very interesting there. I think even in PPR, I think Bryant is still a better fit than Brown, but he went with Antonio Brown. His next pick was a auto pick. He was having some technicalities. He went with C.J. Spiller. I like the pick. Jerry really doesn't like C.J. Spiller. Anybody doesn't like Spiller, I think the reasons are obvious. Has had the injury bug quite a bit. And then also you have a second-year quarterback in E.J. Manuel. The offense hasn't looked good at all, but they're going to run the football. Now, he does not get goal line carries. That's another knock against Spiller. But when he was able to play the majority of the season back in 2012, when he was not injured, he did rush for over 1,100 yards. So I think Spiller, as a flex play, certainly has some good value. After that, he went with another one of his favorites, Michael Floyd, out for the Arizona Cardinals. He led the Cardinals in receiving yards last year. Larry Fitzgerald, I still believe, is going to get the majority of the touchdowns, but Floyd certainly has a lot of upside there. Next, he needed a quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger was the best quarterback on the board. Benny is certainly a proven commodity. I don't have a problem with that. The offense has been a bit shaky in preseason, but quite sure Roethlisberger, they'll figure things out. Next, he went with Kyle Rudolph. I really like that pick. Underrated tight end out in Minnesota. Lost a lot of weight in the offseason. He had a very good preseason. Next year, he went with Justin Hunter, wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans. He certainly had a good preseason. I like his value a lot. Next, Jerry went with Jeremy Hill, the number two running back for the Cincinnati Bengals. As we mentioned earlier, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was released, and so he is certainly the guy who is next in line behind Giovanni Bernard, will likely get at least half the goal line carries. Next, Jerry went with Andrew Hawkins, the perennial number one receiver out there for the Cleveland Browns. This is a PPR league. Jerry feels that this guy is going to be a monster racking up catches out the slot, so we're going to certainly keep an eye on that. Next, Jerry went with a couple second-year running backs, Christian Michael out in Seattle, Mal Davis out in Kansas City. Both of those guys have a lot of value, especially if Marshawn Lynch or Jamal Charles were to get hurt. At 13, he went with Tampa Bay's defense. I like the Bucs' defense a lot this year. Nice up front. You got Gerald McCoy, finally found his groove last year, Pro Bowl defensive tackle. They brought over Michael Johnson from Cincinnati to rush the passer. You still have Adrian Claiborne on the other side. Levante Davis is a stat filler. I like the safeties over the top of Mark Barron and Deshaun Golson. So I certainly think Tampa's D has some weight there. And then he went with Phil Dawson, the Niners kicker. Dawson was a top five kicker. That's an excellent pick there. And then I'll let Victor tell us who his last two auto picks were, because he had to leave off the line. And then I'll also let Victor start on another team so we can evaluate what their picks were looking like.
All right. He picked up David Burton, defensive player for Denver. Auto pick got him right there because
yeah,
this guy isn't –
yeah, nobody.
It's not a good pick there. He got Quentin Dempse. I'm not too
yeah. – yeah.
I don't think he's going to be happy with that.
No, he's got some, he's got some moves to make on the defense there.
Now here's a telltale sign, and I wish he was on the line for this. Whenever Jerry gets Jermichael Finley gets hurt, and he also doesn't do well in his fantasy leagues. His last pick, auto pick, Jermichael Finley. So what I'm saying here is I like his team up until his draft, because he got Jermichael Finley, I think he's going to lose again this year because it never fails. Whenever he drafts him, he gets hurt, and Jerry doesn't do well in fantasy. So I'm just putting the precursor out there. We got about 5 minutes before Yahoo takes down this and loads them up on everybody's page. So what I'm going to do is, and I'm also going to see what the grades are, but I don't think we're going to have time because we're already into overtime right now.
Okay.
But what I want to do is I'm going to go over one of our other podcast mates' teams.
Okay.
His name is Jeff the Joker, and his team's name is Jersey Hot Rods. Now, Jeff is new to the league, so what I did was, since it's a keeper, I set the keeper deadline for a certain date, and after that, anybody that was new had to send me a list of 6 players that want free agency. I was going to do just like the first person to give me their list, they were going to get the first pick, second and third, so on and so forth. And then if you had a tie for the same player, the person that gave me their list first, they got the player. So he and someone else had Drew Brees ranked number one. So he didn't get Drew Brees. He ended up getting Eddie Lacy. So his keepers were Eddie Lacy and Doug Martin. Not bad. I like that. And he followed it up with some very good picks, some very good picks. He followed it up with getting Vincent Jackson, then Nick Foles, then DeSean Jackson.
Nice.
Terrence Williams. And then he kind of fell off, in my opinion. He got Terrence Williams, Fred Jackson, Zach Ertz, Martellus Bennett, Terrence West, DeAndre Hopkins, Ryan Tannehill, Devontae Freeman, James White, Micah Hyde, the Ravens defense, Marcus Sherrills, Matt, and he finished with Matt Bryant. Like I said, I like this team up until the Fred Jackson pick. Because I think he has a nice set of running backs. Two
that
nice
was Lacy and Doug.
And nice
you said Lacy and Doug. Lacy and Doug Martin.
Yes.
Okay.
I like those. I mean, that's just me.
Okay.
So.
No, I have to agree. Looking at his lineup, you're saying basically he's got Nick Foles, a starting quarterback. He's got two monsters at running back with Lacy and Martin. Vincent Jackson, and look, DeSean Jackson is a guy who. He's been productive. He's a very – DeSean is underrated. I mean, from where – the stats that he has put up in the years that he's been happy and motivated, this is one of those years that he is happy, that he's motivated. I think if you look at his starting – even his tight ends, I mean, Zach Ertz, you know, we were debating about that in the preseason, who's going to get the bulk of the work between him and Brent Celek. I think that Ertz – I see them being used kind of equally, but I think that Ertz still has more upside, especially in the red zone. Foles looks for him a lot. Martellus Bennett's the lead guy out in Chicago. Like you said, you're looking at his depth. Terrence Williams, definitely number two receiver out in Dallas. Fred Jackson, he certainly has some value considering the way that Spiller tends to get hurt. Terrence West is a guy I like. He has a nice bounce to his step. He'll be behind Ben Tate. DeAndre Hopkins, he's the only other option that they have in Houston. Tannehill, you know, I mean, backup quarterback, you got to do what you got to do there. Devonta Freeman, he's kind of irrelevant now. James White is a guy who, you know how it is in New England. They pretty much just plug in whoever's doing well. In my opinion, Shane Vereen is the one guy who is the steady dose. Outside of that, Ridley doesn't have a lot of confidence. It's like right now with him, the first time Ridley puts the ball on the ground, he could be back in the doghouse. And then behind him, James White had a good preseason. They still got Brandon Bolden. So their backfield is always loaded in New England. Ravens defense, you got to like that, especially Jacoby Jones returning punts and kicks. Matt Bryant, the Atlanta kicker, he's steady as they come. Marcus Shurls, I'm not sure. I know he runs back punts for the Vikings. He's very effective doing that. But I don't think he's on the field a lot as a defensive player. So, you know, I don't know if he's going to get points if he's banking on this guy doing punt returns, kick returns. And I miss who his other defensive player was. It wasn't anybody notable.
No, and we don't give points for return yards at all.
Okay.
He got Micah Hyde. Both his players are DBs who have 40 tackles apiece. So that doesn't bode well for his defensive players.
Okay, not at all, not at all. I just wanted to comment on Jerry's, and I'll let you continue forward or with close, do whatever we got to do. I just think for Jerry's team, I think that he's going to end up regretting picking Antonio Brown over Dez Bryant. I honestly believe when it comes to it, he is going to really regret. Because, I mean, having that pick there with AP and Dez, that's certainly a lot of production on a week-in, week-out basis. I did want to make note of that. I think Jerry's going to really regret making that Antonio Brown pick.
Well, Yahoo has posted who they feel won the draft, and they feel that my friend Justin Wayne, boom goes the dynamite. I mean, boom, boom, zoom, zoom, whatever he wants to call this team, I don't know, had the best draft based upon their rankings and stuff like that. His draft recap is already up. No, it isn't. But the grades haven't been put up. But his team, and this is what Yahoo says is the best drafted team: Matthew Stafford, Keenan Allen, Marquise Colston. His keepers were Shady. Well, his keepers were Shady and Stafford. Let me start that off right now. So he already had McCoy and Stafford. He got Keenan Allen, Marquise Colston, Pierre Thomas, Jason Witten, Bishop Sankey, Bernard Pierce, Ladarius Green, Alex Smith, Greg Jennings, Malcolm Floyd, Dan Bailey, Cleveland and Green Bay's defense. And his defensive players are Lavonte David, Robert Quinn, and Cameron Jordan. Again, this is based upon what Yahoo says these players should get weekly. I don't think his team's better than mine whatsoever. I don't think his team is better than Jerry's. But this is what Yahoo feels is the best drafted team. Your thoughts before we get out of here, Lance?
Looking at it, I didn't get every single pick, but based on what he has, it looks pretty balanced. I mean, you got Matt Stafford at quarterback. You know, he's a threat to throw for 5,000. He's got the best wide receiver. I really think Matthew Stafford, I mean, he always puts up the numbers. It's like Andy Dalton, a couple of the quarterbacks in the league, is really these bad judgment, miscues, turnovers that kind of hinder his numbers. Hopefully Jim Caldwell can come over there and help clean that up. But like Stafford, he's got McCoy and Pierre Thomas as his running back. So, you know, Pierre Thomas holds some weight in PPR leagues. Obviously, McCoy is another guy who can give you two running backs worth of work. Like the receivers, Keenan Allen and Marcus Colston. Allen is obviously the number one outside guy in San Diego. Colston, we talked about him a couple weeks ago. Victor, quite sure you remember that. Any year is going to be his year to really put up the numbers that that all think that he's capable of. This is certainly the year to do that. Jason Witten, I love this guy. He was ranked 5. I think he's a very where you can land him and what he gives you. I mean, outside of Dez Bryant, he's definitely Tony Romo's favorite target out in Dallas. Some other notables I caught you mention, Cleveland's defense, looking very stout in the preseason. I think they got more pressure on them because the offense is kind of hasn't pulled it together. So as good as their defense is, I still think they're going to end up giving up some points just due to circumstance. But, man, they got a stout defense on Cleveland. They really showed up in the preseason. Green Bay defense as well. You like their upside with the combination of Peppers and Clay Matthews rushing. Got a nice secondary over there, so they got some promise. Look, I love his defensive players. That may be what gave him some extra off. Lavonte David was a stat box monster last year. Robert Quinn, obviously, one of the top defensive players this year coming off the edge. And Cameron Jordan, another guy out in New Orleans who certainly can get after the passer. And then Malcolm Floyd is a sneaky player out in San Diego. You know, Rivers is going to – like a lot of seeing these top teams, they spread the wealth around. He'll certainly have some days. And then you also mentioned Bernard Pierce, who's a backup. Well, he's actually going to start the first two games out in Baltimore and then be splitting time with Ray Rice. So that's probably a good pickup. You got Gary Kubiak over there now. So looking at it, I got your team lined up right next to it. I think you guys could got probably a push at quarterback. I think Stafford and A-Rod produce similar numbers. A-Rod obviously more careful with the ball, less turnovers. Shady McCoy, obviously you'll take him over Bernard or Bush, but you've obviously got a better number two running back. So I think that your running backs are a push. Looking at receiver, probably Keenan Allen and Marcus Colston, a little bit better. Well, actually, you know what? We got to wait to see what Emmanuel Sanders is going to do. And Colston and Torrey Smith. So, I mean, you could honestly say at the wide receiver position, you give him a slight edge because Allen's the main guy. But you certainly got two wide receivers who can certainly put up similar numbers on the right week. I think Colston has a tiny bit more upside than Torrey on a week-in and week-out basis. Tight ends, very similar. I think Jay Witte has a longer track record, but that's kind of a push. And then when I look at your flex options, you seem to have better flex options than him with Moreno, Blunt, and Bo. His flex options are Bernard Pierce, Malcolm Floyd. I missed one of his players. I don't know who his other running back was, but you seem to have a little bit of an edge in your flex options. And then comparing defensive players, I think the Robert Quinn one is probably gave him a little edge because he's rushing the passer. And so all in one shot, get a sack, force a fumble a recover, kind of all in one shot. So you give probably Quinn just a little edge. But, again, you've got the defensive player of the year in Kuechly. And so I don't know. It's close there. From what I see, it may just be names. It may just be Quinn and McCoy are bigger names than Bernard and Kuechly. But we'll be keeping an eye out for when you guys play. That'll certainly be a good matchup to see how the grades compare out. Oh wow! Okay,
it's week one, and right now they have Jerry favorite by 3 points and. I'll tell you now, that's going to change in a minute because I'm going to swap out a player or two that's projected to have more points. But we shall see what happens in that situation. But go ahead, finish. Go ahead, finish what you're saying.
No, that was it. I was done. That was pretty much his lineup. So, I think we got 5 minutes left. I'll just kind of let you lead us on. I'll follow your lead on out of the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to The Master Plan right here with myself, Mr. FSP, Vic Gardner, a place to be. Don't want to do because I do it for you all day, every day here. And with me is the Master Plan co-host, Lance, the NFL Explorer, a.k.a. Robin, a.k.a. Teen Titan, a.k.a. Zan from the Wonder Twins, because he didn't call in on the right number, host number, but he's still a great guy. I think his analysis was very, very good on this draft. I got another draft I'm about to start in a minute, actually. But he's going to be doing the extra point starting September 8th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on blogtalkradio.com/DICHBK. So by all means, check it out. Great guy. Great information. If I could, I'd give him a job on NFL Network or somewhere else. But I don't have that type of power just yet. So we'll see what happens. But with that being said, you can catch the Master Plan every Sunday
10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with Tim and JT, giving you the breakdown of what's going to happen that Sunday. Fantasy sports advice at its best. Then on Thursdays, as I already mentioned, the extra point on Mondays. On Thursdays, you have FSP Cruise Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHB, where my guys, Jeff Black and Jerry, break down the week of sports and entertainment. So anything that goes on during the week leading you up to that Thursday night game, my guys will cover. Fridays, No Chaser, Mac Williams, it is uncut. Whatever you want to say goes. It is our more politically based sports talk show, but it goes on the lines of politics, in real-world politics. The host is a quote-unquote Tea Party guy. He's totally opposite of everybody else on the show. Totally opposite. I would play a commercial, but we don't have time for it. But every Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, come get your fix. If you want to argue politically, sports, or whatever, that's the show to get on. Then on Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK. You have me, it's me, Mr. FSP, along with JTH and Money doing the FSP show, Fantasy Sports and Politics, whereas we're going to talk about everything, everything under the sun, with a focus on fantasy football or fantasy sports. That being said, for my co-host of today, Lance, the NFL Exporter.
I'm here, the NFL Exporter. Thank you. We're looking forward to great season. I got my last big draft today, so I'll be coming back talking to you guys about my rosters. Everybody, once again, NFL Exporter at Twitter. That's NFLExporter. Thanks for joining in. Looking forward to a great season. Definitely shouting out my man Victor, shouting out my man Macau, who's usually with us, shouting out Jerry Taylor. Much respect. Looking forward to a great season with you guys.
All right, all right, all right. We got to get out of here. So the way we're going to get out of here is the way we normally come in. And absolute power does corrupt, absolutely. Although I have not been totally corrupted, I have absolute power.
Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field. Because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last. Bring it all day, every play. Cause you know your boys are gonna put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it gonna be, man? You gonna leave it on the field, or you gonna leave it inside? You gonna leave it or something in your tank? Or you gonna do what champions do? Leave nothing. Leave nothing. Leave nothing.